It's an honor to be here. I'm humbled to be here before you, and I'm looking forward to the week. I hope the things I've prepared are going to be beneficial to us. I'm confident that they will be, as I've prepared them from the Word of God. More about that in the second hour this morning, as we have a limited time here. I want to get into the lesson. I want to look at the Scripture this morning, primarily the Old Testament. In the 36th Psalm and the 7th verse, the psalmist writes, "How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings." That word loving kindness is the word I want to focus on this morning. It's a very interesting word, a deep word. And it's actually found in the Old Testament 247 times. And so just the volume of its appearance in the Old Testament shows us that it's an important word, an important concept for us to understand. And I think it's very beneficial. It's a study that I greatly benefited from and enjoyed. I hope you will as well this morning. Of course, in Romans the 15th chapter in verse 4, we know that all the things written before were written for our learning, and so that we might have hope. And so we look at them for that purpose, for instruction. It allows us to further understand the nature of God and our nature as well as He created us. It allows us to understand our duties before Him and allows us to further serve Him as is fit in the Scripture. And so we're going to look at that this morning. There are several things that we see in Scripture that we gain from this study of Hesed, or loving kindness. And you'll hear me say that word Hesed quite often this morning, and that is the Hebrew word. And it's translated into various different words in the Old Testament, one of which is loving kindness. Some are kindness and mercy. It is translated loyalty in some places, faithfulness and goodness and steadfast love. And so there's a wide array of meaning that comes with this word, and you'll see it translated in those different words this morning. If we study this word, we'll gain wisdom, and that's something necessary. The 107th Psalm in the 43rd verse says, "Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord." It's a facet of the doctrine that God reveals to us that must be heard and must be followed. It is required of us to know the loving kindness of God. Micah 6 and verse 8 says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy," that's that word Hesed, "and to walk humbly with your God." If we are to love Hesed, we must know what Hesed is. And we'll note the similarity of Hesed with the word that we know and are familiar with in the Greek that is translated into grace in the New Testament. It's almost a synonym for this word, Hesed. Hesed, of course, being Hebrew, is not found in the New Testament, but grace would be the parallel. And so studying this word Hesed allows us to refute some false doctrine. Many in the world today will look at the God of the Old Testament and think He's different than the God of the New Testament. The God of the Old Testament was vengeful. He was a God that was a consuming fire, and He punished more than He rewarded and loved and was merciful. And that's just not true. We see the same God in the Old Testament that we see in the New Testament. And so we can see that with this study of Hesed. Furthermore, we can understand by this study that God's Hesed, or God's loving kindness, God's grace, it's not unconditional. He bestowed it upon the people who were faithful to Him. And as soon as they decided to go after other gods, as soon as they decided to live immoral lives and not follow His commandments and keep the covenant, as we'll look at this morning, He took His loving kindness away. Jeremiah 16 and verse 5, Jeremiah records, "Thus says the Lord, do not enter the house of mourning, nor go to lament or bemoan them, for I have taken away my peace from this people, says the Lord. Loving kindness and mercies." They did not follow in God's commands, and so He took that away from them. And also, if we want to receive that loving kindness of the Lord, if we wish to gain it from God and be recipients of His grace, of His mercy, of His steadfast love, it is necessary that we know God and we learn more and more about Him. That is the people to whom God bestows this loving kindness on. Again, the 36th Psalm, in the 7th verse, "How precious is Your loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of Your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of Your house, and You give them drink from the river of Your pleasures. For with You is the fountain of life, and Your light we see light. O continue Your loving kindness," notice, "to those who know You, and Your righteousness to the upright in heart." We do not receive God's loving kindness if we are ignorant about who He is, about what He would have for us to do. And so we give our time to that study this morning. Just quickly, there are some definitions that I want to go through. Strong gives the definition of hesed, or hesed, kindness by implication towards God, piety before Him, favor, good deed, kindliness, kindness, merciful, mercy, pity. And so you'll see those various words translated from hesed this morning. We read in Zondervan's Pictorial Bible Dictionary that it is a term which denotes the kindness and mercy of God toward man in the Old Testament. And this term, as we noted, does not occur in the New Testament, but the concept of grace covers about the same area of meaning. So we'll note that, and we'll also go on to note some relationships that this word has with other concepts in the Old Testament. It gives us a broader scope of this term, how it's used, and how we can apply these things to our lives as well. Some of those are found in Jonah. We remember Jonah, the prophet of God, sent to Nineveh to preach repentance. They were doing things that God had told them not to do. They weren't following His commandments, and they would be destroyed. So God sent Jonah to them so that they might hear that message and turn from the error of their ways, turn from wickedness there. We remember that Jonah didn't want to go, and he fled to Tarshish, and he was thrown overboard in the ocean, and there was this fish that swallowed him. Well, in the belly of that fish, he said some things. And in verse 8 of Jonah 2, he said, "Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy." That's that word, hesed. They forsake their own mercy when they regard worthless idols. In his commentary on the Minor Prophets, Irvin Himmel comments on this word. And he says, "The King James calls it mercy. The NIV renders it grace. However, the Hebrew word hesed is understood by some to mean loyalty or faithfulness." And so Jonah recognized that God is faithful. He is loyal to His people and those who would submit to Him in fear and in love before Him. But if you go and forsake Him and turn to worthless idols, you forsake His faithfulness. So God is only as faithful as we are faithful. He has set conditions upon that, and we'll get to that further in the lesson this morning. In the 4th chapter, after he finally did go to Nineveh, and he preached repentance, and they did repent, and they turned, and the king signed that decree, Jonah wasn't happy with this. He didn't want to go initially, and when he finally did go, and the message he preached was successful, and they turned away from the error of their ways, he expressed his lack of gratitude for God's loving kindness to them. In verse 2 of Jonah 4, he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that You are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness," that's hesed, "one who relents from doing harm." Again, Irvin Himmel comments, hesed applies primarily to God's particular love for His chosen and covenanted people, but His hesed may be expressed to people not in a covenant relationship. And so as it relates to a covenant relationship, of course, He expressed and bestowed His loving kindness on the Ninevites when they turned from their wicked ways. It denotes not just a goodness and a love and a mercy and a steadfast love, a loving kindness, but it denotes loyalty, faithfulness. God is loyal. when he tells us he's going to give us grace, he's going to bestow gifts upon us, give us spiritual blessings as we are given those blessings in Christ. He's not one that will give those promises and turn back on his word. That's where we have a very wonderful concept of this term in Scripture. God is loyal, He's faithful, and He's going to follow up on His word. If He has a people, and they have done what they needed to do to become His people, He's loyal to His people. We don't have a fickle God. We don't have a flaky God. He's one that will be loyal to the end as long as we are faithful to Him, of course. And so as we see it in Scripture, it's translated into various terms, and some of which we'll notice here in the 119th Psalm. In the 159th verse, it is rendered loving kindness, as we have the title of our lesson this morning. And the psalmist writes there, "Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness." The lexicon of Brown, Driver, and Briggs says that Hesed is God's loving kindness in condescending to the needs of His creatures. You read of gods, especially the pagan gods that we read of, the various gods that they worship, and all of those different stories that come along with them. And oftentimes, those gods did not condescend to their creatures to fulfill their needs. They were ones who stuck their noses up in the air. They were prideful. They didn't want to be seen as someone who would associate and become a part of, just like Jesus did, of the creation and of men. God isn't like that. He cares for us. He created us for His glory. But when we have a need, God is one who wishes to and takes delight in condescending to us, coming down to us and bestowing blessings upon us. That comes from His loving kindness. He is loving. He is kind. And when we're in need, when we are less fortunate than others, perhaps when we're suffering, or even when we've done wrong, God is a merciful God. And that's how it's rendered in the 59th Psalm in verse 17. The psalmist writes, "To you, O my strength, I will sing praises. For God is my defense, my God of mercy." And this is what Vines describes this as in his expository dictionary, grace, mercy, and goodness. We are people who need mercy. We are people who go through various hardships in this imperfect world. And more than that, we are people who have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. He's a God of mercy. He wants us to have eternal life. He wants us to thrive and to be benefited by the things in this life, especially our spiritual lives. And He is a God that fulfills those needs. I want to especially emphasize, however, the relationship, as we noted in Jonah chapter 4 and chapter 2, with Hesed and covenant. It is a concept of loyalty, a concept of faithfulness. And we read about that throughout the Old Testament. This is recorded of the Israelites and their relationship with God. They are God's people, and He loves them. He cares for them. He conquers other cities and nations in His glory and for His glory, but it's the benefit to the Israelites. And we certainly know of the covenant that He had made with them and bestowed upon them. In Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, and in verse 9, that is discussed. And it records, "Therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God," notice, "who keeps covenant and mercy," Hesed, "for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments." In the 12th verse, it continues, "Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which He swore to your fathers." In fact, Hesed is paired with covenant, that word covenant, that concept covenant, so often in the Old Testament. It's there 247 times, and many of those times it's paired with covenant so often that it can become a synonym for covenant. So loving kindness or mercy can become, with that Hebrew word, a synonym for covenant. So when do we receive God's loving kindness? When we keep His covenant. And that's what Vine says in his expository dictionary. It applies primarily to God's particular love for His chosen and covenanted people. Covenant also stresses the reciprocity of the relationship. He has made that covenant with us, and we expect Him to keep the covenant, don't we? He's a faithful God, and we read of that, and we love that concept and that facet of His nature, that He is immutable in His counsel. He's made promises. He'll keep the promises. We see it in the history recorded for us, and we want Him to keep the promises He has made to us in a covenant. But that necessitates reciprocity and love and in loyalty. We need to be loyal to our God. We'll touch on that more in a minute. Also, it is connected certainly with truth. And this is very interesting. And the many times it's mentioned in the Old Testament, 16 times, just as covenant was paired with hesed, hesed is paired with truth, 16 times. And so they are inseparable. They've got to go together. When you see truth, you understand that if you follow in that truth, if you know that truth, then you can receive the loving kindness or hesed of God. But you cannot receive the loving kindness or hesed of God separate and apart from truth. The 25th Psalm in verse 10 says, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep His covenant and His testimonies." Also in the 85th Psalm, Psalm 85 and in verse 10, "Mercy and truth, hesed and truth, have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed." And then lastly in the 89th Psalm, Psalm 89 and in verse 14, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face." You see, today, people will want the grace of God. And they want the relationship with God. They want the blessings that are found in Christ. After all, that grace has appeared to all men, Titus 2 and verse 11. But they want it without the truth. They'll speak of the difference between gospel and doctrine when in fact the gospel of Christ is the doctrine of Christ and the doctrine of Christ is the gospel of Christ. It's the good news. It doesn't just include Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but the entirety of the New Testament. And when God talks about Jesus being the Son of God in His inspired Word, that's every bit as much as the truth and pertinent as it is that we should be baptized for the remission of our sins to receive that grace and that mercy. The same as all of the other things that are included in the New Testament. How do we live? Are we to be individuals who revel in immorality, who become drunk, or who go into the world and become the world and conform to the world? We're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We read the truth, imbibe the truth, and live it. And then we can receive the loving kindness of God. But if we fail to do that, God is not going to show mercy on those who are not faithful to Him, who are not loyal. It's also interesting to note how much loving kindness is there with God, and how the boundaries of His loving kindness are limitless. They extend forever and ever. The 136th Psalm tells us this and gives emphasis to this. There are those verses in the 136th Psalm, 26 to be exact, and that word hesed is found in each one of them. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever." Because He is God, not just any God, but God of gods. Because He is Lord, and not just has any authority, but all authority, His mercy endures forever through those characteristics that He possesses and through those offices that He holds. But He goes on for two other sections. Verses 4 through 9 shows how His mercy is prevalent and there within creation. He says, "To whom Him alone who does great wonders, who by wisdom made the heavens, who laid out the earth above the waters, who made great light, sun to rule by day, moon and stars to rule by night." And with creation comes many blessings. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And that's a product of His hesed, mercy, His loving kindness. But I want to especially note the last section of this that has to do with His covenant relationship with His chosen nation of Israel. To Him who struck Egypt and their firstborn, for His mercy endures forever. He brought Israel out from among them with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it, overthrew Pharaoh and his army. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, He struck down great kings, slew famous kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, gave their land as heritage, heritage to Israel, His servant, who remembered us in our lowly state, rescued us from our enemies, and who gives food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for His mercy endures forever. It is endless. With Israel, they would have never seen an end to God's loving kindness or mercy, because it endures forever, but only as far as they are faithful. It is one that never runs out. It is in abundance. We hear some individuals today suggest that they don't want to obey the gospel. They don't want to come to Christ because they've just done too many bad things in their life. There's no way God's love and grace and mercy can extend to them. In the 33rd Psalm, in the 5th verse, we know that to be false. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness, hesed, of the Lord. It is one that is abundant. We read in the 103rd Psalm, Psalm 103 and in verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. In the 17th verse, the hesed mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children. So the only reason we're not going to receive the hesed of God, to become recipients of it, is not because it's got a limit. There's a lack of the supply of hesed. But it'll have to do with our lack of faithfulness. It is conditional, and we understand that, of course, reading the New Testament. It is certainly highlighted and emphasized in the Old Testament. Over in Exodus, the 20th chapter, we have Moses giving to the children of Israel the Ten Commandments, the law of God, down from Mount Sinai. We read the first 6 verses there, and we see the word hesed recorded. God spoke these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the 3rd and 4th generation to those who hate me, but showing mercy, hesed, to the thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. If individuals would come to God and they would follow His commandments and do as He said, they would receive hesed. They turn to idols and worship other gods. God is a jealous God, and He's loyal to you. He wants loyalty reciprocated. If you fail to do that, then you won't receive the hesed of God. Of course, it is related to truth, as we noted. That's another condition upon it. Those who would come to God and know the truth and follow the truth would be those who would receive the hesed of God. In the 119th Psalm, in the 155th verse, salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. We continue on in the 119th Psalm, 158. I see the treacherous and am disgusted because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endure forever. We ones who want to experience God's grace, His mercy, His love, His steadfast love, do we want Him to be loyal to us? Then we've got to continue in the truth. We've got to keep His covenant. And so many individuals in the Lord today, in the world today, they want Jesus as their Savior, but not as their Lord. They want to receive the benefits of His sacrifice, but they do not want to follow His truth. They don't want to follow Him. He's the only way to heaven, John 14, verse 6. It's the only way to God. If we are to expect Him to be loyal, to be faithful, then we've got to follow His truth and be faithful as well. We see that in the New Testament as well. Look carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. When we receive the grace of God, we enter into His covenant by being baptized for the remission of our sins. We must look carefully and be steadfast lest we fall short of that grace. We can fall away from the hesed of God. As a matter of time, we'll get past that. I want to emphasize the requirement of hesed in our lives. If God shows hesed to us, He's a God of loving kindness, He's going to want us as His children to be of that nature as well. In 2 Peter, we read of Peter's plea for those individuals by inspiration and the hope that he gives them of becoming like the divine nature. You add to your faith virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, self-control. It adds all the way up to love. We know God is love. We want to be like Him. And we're expected to take on His nature. We do that by allowing His precepts to guide us in life. His Word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And if we do that, we can become like God. And this is one of those things that we must do. We must maintain hesed. And that's certainly seen, as we noted, with regard to our relationship to Him. If we want Him to be loyal, we need to be loyal to Him. In Hosea 6 and verse 4, the Old Testament records, "O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness, hesed, is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew, it goes away. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and your judgments are like light that goes forth. For I desire hesed and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But like men they transgressed the covenant. There they dealt treacherously with me." We need to understand it is our duty to keep ourselves in the love of God. Jude verse 21 suggests that by inspiration. We have a duty. We have a responsibility God has placed upon us to keep ourselves in His grace and His mercy. He'll never shorten His hand from us, but it's the sin that separates us, the iniquity that separates us from our God. Isaiah chapter 59 and verses 1 and 2. And so we have that responsibility to exhibit hesed before our God. But also, as hesed is a relationship expressed from God to us and us to God, it likely and logically is a relationship that is expressed from man to man. We need to have hesed toward each other. And there are several situations in which we see this, one of which is the general concept of hesed being expressed to all men. Micah 6:8, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy," that's hesed, "and walk humbly with your God." Do justly before God, keeping His commandments and doing all the things that He has given for us to do, being just before Him, but also doing just things before men and to men. Being merciful to them, being loving to them, and being loyal even to men. We see that in Joshua the second chapter. With regard to the children of Israel sending in spies into the land of Jericho, we remember the harlot there, Rahab. And she expressed this concept of hesed to the spies. It says that in verse 12, she said, "Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord," after she had hid the spies, "since I have shown you kindness," or hesed, "that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all they have, and deliver our lives from death." There's a loyalty there of the love, the mercy, the kindness bestowed. "Since I have shown this to you, please show it to me." And that's exactly what they did. They said, "Our lives for yours," in verse 14, "and if none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly to you." They eventually did that in the 6th chapter. In the 22nd verse, they were commanded, as they had promised, to go to Rahab after the walls of Jericho fell down and spare her and her family. They expressed that loving kindness to her, and they followed up with faithfulness to their word. But also, we need to express that loyal love, the steadfast love to our family. We see this in the wonderful account of Ruth. We remember Ruth was an individual who married into the family of Naomi, and her husband died, and Ruth's husband died along with her sister-in-law Orpah's husband died. And now, since they did not have those husbands that were Naomi's sons, there was no place for them there. And we have Naomi telling Ruth and Orpah to go back. She said to her daughters-in-law in verse 8 of chapter 1, "Go return to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly, hesed, with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me." She was a loyal family member. She was there in showing love and bestowing kindness and mercy and participating as a family member and being faithful to her family and to her husband especially. But when they passed away, Naomi said, "You can go back home." But we notice how hesed really acts and how it really is in loyalty with Ruth's response. After Orpah left, and she said, Naomi did to Ruth, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. And your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord so do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." That's loyal love. And that's the love we're to have for our family members. So often in the world today, you see, sadly, family members that turn their backs on one another. And they're mean-spirited to each other. They're not loyal. They're not there for them. We're to take care of our family members and be there for them, especially in spiritual things. And you had Ruth with Naomi. She didn't have to stay, but the love she had for Naomi grew so much. And she said, "Wherever you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. Nothing but death will part you and me." That's loyalty. To the extent that she married Boaz in Ruth 3 and verse 10, in order for Naomi's family to continue after her sons died and her husband died, what's left? And so Ruth chose Boaz, who was an older man, and he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown more hesed, kindness, at the end than at the beginning, and that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich." She didn't choose the young men. She chose Boaz, a wise older man, and one who was a relative of Naomi. And so her family would continue on. And we see just how beneficial that was and how much of a difference that made, as we read in chapter 4 of her grandson that was born to Ruth was an individual named Obed, and he was actually David's grandfather. And so her seed would go on to be the lineage that would lead to Christ. What a wonderful thing. Because of the hesed she showed to her family. And lastly, but certainly not least, we as brethren in the Lord need to show this kind of faithful and loyal love to each other. Amen. Zechariah 7 and verse 8, the Lord said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion," that's hesed and compassion, "everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother." But they refused to heed. They shrugged their shoulders and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. And the result of that was their being led into captivity. It's amazing that they didn't even want to express this loyal love to each other as Israelites. There can be differences in interests and in past histories with brethren. But we all have a commonality in Christ. We all have a commonality with God. And as recipients of hesed from God, we should be showing that same loyal love to each other. It's a sad thing that congregations split over such small differences. It can be even the color of the carpet or the color of the wall. I've heard stories about that, congregations splitting because of this. There's no loyalty there. There's no love. There's no ability or desire to yield to one another, to submit to one another, as we're told in the New Testament, to continue in mercy and in truth and in loving kindness, steadfast love. And I would encourage each and every one of you here today, as I'm confident that you do already, expressing this concept of loving kindness to God, to your families, and certainly to your brethren in Christ. We're about out of time. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Jeremiah.
Yes, sir.